But I just want to give everyone a very warm welcome to the meeting tonight. It's good to see you on a Sunday night, and we trust the Lord will bless us as we're together tonight. This is the final night of this series of meetings here in Cumnock. We've been here for 3 weeks, and this is the final night of this special series. And we just want to thank all who have been supporting the meetings over the weeks, and just want to thank you for your prayers and your interest, and we thank you for your presence here again tonight. Now, the meetings will continue here in Cumnock. There'll be another meeting on Tuesday night at 7:30. There's a time of prayer, and that'll be followed by a time of Bible teaching at 8 o'clock, and the speaker will be Stuart Gillespie from the assembly here. He'll be speaking on 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 23, and the subject is Satan, the world, and the Antichrist. Now, you're invited to attend that meeting if you're free. That is Tuesday night at 7:30 for prayer, and then 8 o'clock for the teaching of the Word of God and the speaker, Stuart Gillespie. And then next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, not at 8 o'clock, but 6 o'clock, the gospel will be preached here again, and you're invited to that meeting as well. So we do thank you for coming, and we trust the Lord will bless us tonight, and that the Lord would speak to our hearts. As we've said in nights gone past, it's amazing that the great God of heaven wants to speak to us. And he does. He wants to speak to us. And that's why he's gathered us here tonight, from different places, different backgrounds. But we're all gathered here because God wants to speak to us. God's got a message for us. And I trust that as we sit, that we might say, like a young boy, there's a young boy in the Old Testament called Samuel. And this is the words that he spoke. As he lay in his bed one night, he said, speak, Lord, thy servant hears. And I trust as we're here tonight, that might be the attitude of all our hearts, that we're just saying, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. And if we're here tonight desiring God to speak, then God won't disappoint us. God will speak. But you know, when we hear God's voice, then we become responsible to do something about it. We become responsible to act on it. And so it's good to see you tonight, but the fact that you're here places a big responsibility on your shoulders. I have a responsibility tonight. I have a responsibility to say what the Lord has put in my heart to say. But, you know, once I have said that, by 8:45, then the responsibility has been transferred from me over to you. And you have a responsibility as to how you respond to what God says to you tonight. So thanks for coming, and we pray the Lord would really take dealings with us tonight. I want to read three or four verses from the New Testament. The first is in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. If you have a Bible, you can follow the reading. If you don't have, don't be too concerned, but we'll make the reading clear. And there's a little expression that is common to each of the verses that we're going to read. And if you listen carefully, then you might be able to pick up that little phrase. The first is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And these are the words of Paul, one of the early Christians. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our next verse is in the previous chapter of the same book, the book of Galatians, chapter 1 and verse 4. We'll read verse 3 just for the sake of connection. These are just the opening remarks that Paul is making as he writes to the Christians in Galatia. And he says in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse number 5. I'll just read verse number 3 just to get the impact of these verses before verse 5. Verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And then our final reading is in the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Galatians chapter number 5 and we'll read verse 25. That might just be a wee lesson for someone in verse 25, so we'll just read it. Paul says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now that's our readings for tonight, and we know that God will add a blessing to the reading of his precious living word. I don't know whether you caught the little expression that was common to these four passages of the Bible, but it was the little expression, he gave himself. He gave himself. And we're going to think tonight not only of the reality of the fact that the Lord Jesus gave himself, but we're going to think of the reasons why he gave himself. As we read the Bible, we'll discover that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was a sacrificial death. It was a voluntary death. You see, as far as you and I are concerned, there's going to come a moment when we're going to die. We don't have any choice about the matter. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. That all men must die. We don't have a choice as to where we'll die or how we'll die or when we'll die. But we know the stark reality that facing every one of us is death. We must die. We don't have a choice. But the Lord Jesus Christ was different. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was the very author of life. He was the originator of life. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only person that has ever lived in this world that was absolutely sinless, and that meant that death had no claim on him. Because the reason all men die is because all men are sinners. Sin, when it is finished, it brings forth, it gives birth to death. The wages of sin is death. That's the clear statement of the Bible. And the reason Adam, the first sinner, died was because he had sinned. And the reason you and I die is because of sin. The wages of sin is death. And we have all sinned and we all face death. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he never sinned. The Bible tells us that there was no sin in him. He was perfect. He was morally pure. So death had no claim on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't need to die, but the Lord Jesus chose to die. And the Bible makes it clear that the death of the Lord Jesus, yeah, as far as men were concerned, it was a public execution. As far as men were concerned, he'd been put to an open shame. He'd become the object of ridicule. He'd become the object of man's hatred and man's cruelty. But the Bible tells us that behind all the scenes of Calvary, there was a great plan being carried out, and that was the plan of the Lord Jesus to give himself, to give his life, to lay down his life as a sacrifice, as a voluntary sacrifice unto God. And we'll see tonight that that sacrifice was for me and for you. And so we're going to look tonight at four reasons why the Lord Jesus gave himself on Calvary. Four reasons why Christ died on that cross. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 that the Lord Jesus gave himself because he loved us. Calvary was because of love. The death of the Lord Jesus, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, the pain and the agony that he endured was all because of love. And the man that wrote the letter to the Galatians, he had grasped that in the depths of his own soul. And it had come to mean absolutely everything. It had become the very reason for his living. He says, the Son of God loved me. And he gave himself for me. So personal, isn't it? So simple. So glorious. I wonder if you have grasped that time. In all its simplicity, in all its individuality, I wonder if you grasp what Paul grasped, that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. So Calvary was all about me. The cross was all about me. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus was all about me. The Son of God loved me. You know, the last couple of nights we've been here, Thursday night and Wednesday night, we spoke about the Lord Jesus, and He was the very subject of our message, and we tried to show something of the glory and the uniqueness and the beauty of the Lord Jesus. And that one who is so unique and so glorious and so perfect is the one that loved me and the one that loved you. You know, we're so unlike the Lord Jesus. Our lives are marked by the defiling effects of sin. And sin is a defiling thing. It has defiled society. It defiles people's mind. It defiles people's behaviour. We can hardly look at something today without being defiled. The society that we're in is sinking so low into the depths of immorality and depravity and debauchery. And it's all because of sin and its defiling effects on society. And yet here was one that was without sin. The sinless, spotless Son of God. And yet He looks in a guilty, defiled, ruined sinner like me and like you. And He loves. Isn't it wonderful? The Son of God. Grasp it tonight. Grasp who we're speaking about. God's Son. That one who's eternal in His being. No beginning, no end. The one that is glorious. The one that is holy. And yet He looks down and He loves. He loves you. And He loves me, the person that loves us. Oh, my friend, I tell you, suppose there was no one else that loved me in the whole of the world, I can rejoice in this, that He loves me. He loves me. And you might feel as if you're unloved tonight. You maybe don't have a mother and you don't have a father. And you don't have a brother and you don't have a sister. And you feel as if you don't have a friend in the whole wide world. My friend, listen, take comfort tonight. The Lord Jesus loves you. The Son of God loves you. And He loves you just the way you are in all your need. But praise God, He doesn't want you to remain the way you are in your need. He wants to meet your need. He wants to save your soul. He wants to cleanse your sin. He wants to give you a life that's worth living. He wants to be your friend. And He wants to take you to heaven. And that's why He gave Himself. That's why He gave Himself at Calvary. You see, Calvary was the place where he demonstrated His love. Calvary. You see, sometimes we don't like to get to Calvary. We like to think about the life of the Lord Jesus and the birth of the Lord Jesus and the stories that He told. But you see, it was all about Calvary. That was why He came, to go to the cross, to give His life a ransom for many. He came to die. And He came to die at Calvary to manifest the extent of His love towards a sinner like you and like me. He loved me and He gave Himself for me. Think not only of the person that loves you. Think of the place where He demonstrated His love. And that abandoned place, that lonely place, that place outside the city wall of Jerusalem. It was there on that old rugged cross that the Son of God demonstrated His love for you and for me. Think of the pain that proved His love tonight. The pain that proved His love. Oh, my friend, how can we possibly look at Calvary? How can we possibly ponder the death of the Lord Jesus, the pain and the agony, and doubt for a single split second that He loves us? Think of the ploughed back. Think of the words of the prophet in the Old Testament. They made deep their furrows on His back. My friend, when men were finished with Him, when they'd taken that lash across His back time and time again, His back was like a ploughed field. My friend, why did He endure it? He endured it because of love. Love. Love for me and love for you. Think of that pierced brow. Men wove a crown of thorns and they placed it on His brow. Oh, my friend, think of those thorns as they were driven into the brow of the blessed Lord Jesus. And from every thorn mark there dropped the drops of crimson blood. Oh, my friend, that crown of thorns, worn with dignity by the blessed Son of God, is a proof of how much He loves me. And think, my friend, of those nails driven into His hands and His feet. That one that could have called for 12 legions of angels. Every angelic being in heaven was straining at the neck to come and assist their Lord and Master. But there was no cry came from his lips. And all alone on Calvary, he would bear the weight of man's guilt. And there on Calvary, he would make that once for all sacrifice for sin. And there on Calvary, they pierced his hands and his feet. That body that was punished more than any human body has ever been punished. And there at Calvary, as we think of the agony, the deep sorrows, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, we're confronted with the proof, the indisputable proof that he loves us. My friend Jesus loves you tonight. He doesn't love your sin. He hates your sin. But he loves you, a poor, guilty sinner. He loved you so much that he was prepared to give himself for you at Calvary. He loves you. He loves you. Can I ask you a question tonight? Do you love him? Do you love him? Love demands a response, doesn't it? Love demands a response. Got a text message from a young friend just this afternoon, and he told me he was in love. I just hope that the girl that he's in love with loves him as well. You know, there's no much of a relationship, is there, if there's only one of the partners loving, is there? There can't be a relationship unless that love is two-way. You see, my friend, if we don't love the Lord Jesus, we don't have any relationship with him. Oh, he doesn't stop loving us, but we can't enjoy a relationship with him unless we're loving him. Do you love the Lord tonight? I know we sing about loving him. And you know, sometimes when we come to meetings like this, we sing a lot of things that we don't really mean. We sing a lot of things that we've never really experienced in our hearts. Now, do you really love the Lord Jesus tonight? You see, if we love him, we'll obey him. If we love him, we'll obey him. Are you obeying the Lord? One of the ways the early Christians obeyed the Lord, and one of the ways every Christian should obey the Lord, is to be baptized. It's a sign that we love him. And we just want to do what he asks us to do. Do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, you'll want to talk to him. If you talk to the Lord today. You see, that's what prayer is all about. Prayer is not some great sort of theological, sort of mystical thing. Prayer is just the reality of talking with the Lord. And you see, if we really love someone, then we want to be in their company and we want just to talk to them. And we want to listen to them talking to us. Now, have you been walking and talking with the Lord today? Are you really in love with him? And if you really love the Lord, you want to serve the Lord. And you want others to fall in love with the Lord. And you want to speak about him. Now tell me, do you love him? He loves you. And he loved you so much that he gave himself for you at Calvary. Now look at the cross tonight. And I think of the words of the hymn, right? Love. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. That's what it demands, doesn't it? That's what it demands for me. That's what it demands for you. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my heart, my all. Now, do you love him? Has there ever been a moment when you've just dropped on your knees and thanked the Lord Jesus for loving you? And thanked the Lord Jesus for giving himself for you at Calvary. As if there was nobody else in the whole of the world, just you. Have you ever realized that Calvary was just for you? For you. He gave himself because he loved us. He gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil age. That's what Paul told the Galatians in chapter 1 and verse 4. He says he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil. That's the age that we're living in tonight, isn't it? It's an evil age. We've already referred to that. The characteristic of the age in which we live is evil.
living in an evil world, but we're living in a condemned world. We're living in a world that has come under the condemnation of God and is facing the judgment of God. One of the early preachers said this one day when they were preaching. They said that God has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness. And the one that God will use to judge this world in righteousness is the one that he himself has ordained. The Lord Jesus, the rejected man of Calvary, is the one that God is going to has appointed to judge the world. And that day has been set. We're living in a world that is heading for divine judgment, for divine wrath. But the Lord Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. You don't need to face that judgment. You can know what it is to be delivered from that. In fact, Paul wrote to a group of Christians in Thessalonica, and he was speaking about the Lord Jesus, and he referred to him as our great deliverer. A great deliverer from the wrath that's to come. That's why he gave himself, so that men and women might be delivered. Delivered from judgment. Terrible thing to be condemned, isn't it? Terrible thing to think of a condemned world. It's a terrible thing to think of condemned men and women as part of the society of the world. My friend, if you're still in your sins tonight, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, if you're still unsaved, then you're condemned. Condemned already, with the wrath of God abiding upon you. But the Lord Jesus came and he gave himself on the cross on account of our sins, that we might be delivered from this present evil world, that we might be delivered from the judgment of the world, and that we might be delivered from the very system of this world. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning the Christians? He said that they were in the world, but they weren't of the world. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in the city of Philippi, and he said concerning them that their citizenship was in heaven. And it was from heaven they were looking for their Saviour. You see, the moment I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment I responded to his great love for me, the moment I thanked the Lord Jesus Christ for dying for my sins on the cross at Calvary, that moment he delivered me from this present evil age. I don't belong down here anymore. I belong up there. I belong to heaven. That's where my citizenship is. I know my passport says British nationality, but my friend, I'm not really a British national. I'm a citizen of heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That was a song we used to sing when we were young. Don't know how that came back into my mind tonight, but there you are. My friend, as Christians, we don't belong to it. We've been delivered from this. We're no longer part of this defiling society. We've become part of God's society. We've become part of heaven's interests on earth, heaven's representatives on earth. And we're here to represent the interests of God. Now tell me, my friend, are you still part of this condemned humanity? Are you still part of this evil age? Or have you been delivered by trusting the Lord Jesus? Do you belong to God tonight? And do you belong to heaven? The Lord Jesus gave himself because he loved us. He gave himself to deliver us from this present evil age. He gave himself that he might bring us unto God. The Bible says there is one God, only one. Not the many gods of the New Age movement. No, there is but one God. Way back in the prophecy of Isaiah, God says, I am God, and beside me there is no other God, none other. Only one God. The God of the Bible, the God of heaven, God of eternity, the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus, he's that one God. We're so far away from him, aren't we? Our lives are marked by sin, and sin distances us from God. Sin causes a breach between us and God. But there's a mediator. There's one that has come to draw us together. There's one that has come to reconcile us to God. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all. Oh, you see, before men could be reconciled to God, before that breach could be removed, before men could be enjoy a relationship with the eternal God of heaven, then that problem of sin had to be dealt with. And that's why he gave himself a ransom. The Lord Jesus said that the Son of Man, referring to himself, he says, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for the many. He came to pay the price that God demanded in relation to sin. And the price that God demanded before a single sinner could be forgiven, before a single rebel could be brought back to himself, the price demanded was the shedding of precious, spotless, sinless blood, was the sacrifice of a sinless life. That was the price. There was only one who could pay that ransom price. There was only one who could offer to God what God demanded, and it was his own Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven's throne and came to the depths of Calvary, entered into the darkness and laid down his life, his spotless life, as a ransom for us all. Oh, my friend, praise God, the ransom's been paid. God's not asking us to pay our way to heaven. God's just asking us to accept the payment that has been made on our behalf. To accept the ransom price was paid by Christ on Calvary. There's nothing for you to do. There's nothing for you to pay. There's nothing for you even to say. But just to rest by faith on what Christ has done at the cross and Calvary. The ransom is paid forever. Isn't it wonderful that you and I, as sinners, guilty sinners, can go free? Isn't it wonderful that you and I, as rebel sinners, separated from God, can be brought near? Isn't it wonderful that you and I, condemned sinners who deserve eternal judgment, can be saved, can be delivered from that? Oh, because there was another that was prepared to take our place and pay the price that God demanded at Calvary. He gave himself because he loved us. He gave himself that he might deliver us from this evil age. He gave himself that he might bring us to God. And he gave himself that we might be with him forever. Christ loved the church. And he gave himself for it. And he's looking forward to that day when he's going to present his church to himself as a spotless bride that will enjoy his company forever and ever and ever. When Paul writes about the church, he's not thinking about the Church of Scotland or the Church of Rome or a building. He's thinking of the church which is comprised of every individual that has put their trust in the Lord Jesus. Everyone that is born of the Spirit. Everyone that is saved. Everyone that is trusting Christ to have paid the ransom from them. Everyone that's responded to his love. They're part of the church. And he gave himself for that church to purchase it, to make it his own. And he's looking forward to that day when that church in all its entirety, every individual that has trusted him, is going to be gathered out of the world, gathered to himself, and he's going to present it to himself as a glorious bride without spot and without blemish. I'm part of that bride. Part of the bride of Christ. And I'm going to enjoy an eternal relationship with him. He's going to unfold the depths of his love. He's going to unfold the glories of his person. He's going to unfold that for all eternity. Because he's purchased me for himself by the giving of himself in death and sacrifice at Calvary. Isn't it wonderful that God wants me, that the Lord wants me in heaven? The Lord Jesus wants my company with himself for all eternity. And he wants you. That's why he came. That's why he gave himself on the cross, that you might experience the joy and the bliss of heaven with him for all eternity. He's made provision for you to be there. But you'll need to acknowledge your need of him. And you'll need to personally receive him as your Saviour and Lord. You'll need to acknowledge that when he died, he was dying. Heaven's real, isn't it? Have we met too many people that would deny that heaven's real? I wonder, are you going there? I know you want to be there, but do you have that assurance that you'll be there? when that roll is called up yonder, will you be there? When the Lord Jesus presents his bride to himself, that wonderful day of marital bliss, Christ and his bride, will you be there? Will you be part of that bride? Will you be with Christ forever? Or I wonder, will you be left here for the wrath and judgment of God? The Lord Jesus has made provision for you to be there. He loved you. He gave himself for you at Calvary. All he wants you to do is to trust him, to acknowledge him tonight as your Saviour and your Lord. And if you do that, you'll be able to sing with every other Christian when the roll is called up yonder. I'll be there. I'll be there. Praise God tonight. I'll be there. Not because I'm a preacher. Not because I was brought up in a Christian home or a Christian country. But there was a time in my life when I acknowledged that the Son of God loved me. And he gave himself to me. There was a night in my life when I realized that Calvary was all about me. It was all about me. That lovely, sinless, spotless man, he loved me so much that he died for me at Calvary. And I bowed the knee in his presence and said, Jesus, I'll trust you. I'll accept you as my Saviour. And I asked him to come into my life and to be my Lord. And tonight I love him. And the reason I love him is because he first loved me. And he gave himself for me. Now tell me tonight, as we close this meeting, as we close this series of meetings, do you love Jesus? Do you really love him? Have you really yielded your heart and your all? Do it now. I tell you, it's not a disappointment. It would be far better for you in the world than ever do. It will satisfy you here. And he'll secure your eternity. Forever. Forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we do give thanks to thee for another opportunity just to preach the gospel. Our Father, I just couldn't think of any greater occupation at this point in time than just to tell folks of Christ. We thank your God that we thank you that he loved us, and that love of God was so intense, so deep, so real, that it brought him from heaven. Brought him from heaven, our God, to this sin-cursed earth. Drove him, our God, to that cross to lay down his life for poor, guilty, condemned sinners. We thank you, our God, that the one that died for us is the one that rose for us. The one, our God, that intercedes as our great high priest in heaven for all those that trust in him. We thank their God for all who trust in him. He's coming one day to take us to be with himself, that we might see him and that we might be like him forever. What a glorious prospect. We would long, our God, that that would be the prospect of everyone in the meeting tonight, but you alone know, our God, each heart. If there are some, our God, that have never trusted the Lord, oh God, really deep dealings with them tonight. Grant, our God, that they wouldn't leave this place until their God, they're trusting alone in Christ. Until they're rejoicing in the depths of their soul in the fact that the Son of God loved them and gave himself for them on Calvary's cross. Bless then thy word, our God, to each heart we pray, as we ask it in the Lord's name. Now we'll just accept time just to sing a couple of verses of a hymn. Hymn number 528, we've already quoted it, and we'll just sing a couple of verses. We'll sing the first two verses of hymn number 528. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of us shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones will gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And just before we sing, we just ask the question, will you be there? Well, if you're not sure about that, don't sing about it. Singing a lie is just the same as telling a lie. If you're not sure that you'll be there, then don't sing the words. Don't sing a lie. But you can make sure you'll be there tonight by just where you are, asking Christ to be your Saviour. And if you ask Christ to be your Saviour, then your name will be written down in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when the roll is called up yonder, you'll be there. So we'll just remain seated and we'll sing these two verses of 5 to 8, and after that the meeting's over.